Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
It's the holiday season, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. People are thinking about unplugging before the end of the year. But in the Mon Valley, there are a lot of projects going on that could shape the future of both the industrial sector as well as the commercial sector and, of course, the long-term economic health of the region. Robert Johnson is director of the Monongahela Area Chamber of Commerce, which serves much of southeastern Allegheny County, and he's on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Jason.
So good to have you with us. Tell us, first of all, what is a chamber of commerce and what does who does the Monongahela Area Chamber of Commerce serve?
Chamber of Commerce is a business networking organization with the mission statement of advancing the business community and business prospects across the communities that are represented. Our mission is to make the Monongahela area more conducive and more friendly to business development and business growth. The Monongahela Chamber runs a long corridor starting in West Homestead, going out both sides of the Mon River all the way to Elizabeth Township and Forward Township at the Allegheny County, Washington County line.
So you're kind of what they used to call west to west, from West Elizabeth to West Homestead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. We have that whole corridor. We put Yawk into the name because we jump up a little bit into Versailles and a little bit into McKeesport and a little bit into those communities as we go up the Yawk River towards Sudersville, and we stop at the county line up there as well, which kind of cuts over into Westmoreland County on that side.
And you are a consolidation or a federation of a lot of smaller chambers of commerce, correct? It was originally the McKeesport Chamber of Commerce, and then some of the other outlying areas united together for their common interests.
Exactly. An example of that would be the Still Valley. There was a Still Valley Chamber at one point. We now have that area, Munn Hall, West Homestead. We're a consolidation. We've got 300 in, like right now we have about 335 members. Our goal is to grow that back up over 400. We did pick up this year so far. This has been our best year since COVID. We've picked up about 35 members.
Boy, COVID really changed things for a lot of businesses and a lot of organizations. I know a lot of churches and nonprofits, for instance, struggled to come back. They lost volunteers during the COVID pandemic, and it impacted the Chamber of Commerce as well.
Yeah, it absolutely did, because it restricted our ability to do in-person networking activities and big events. for example, we could not do our legislative lunch during COVID. This year, we had probably our best legislative lunch we've had in years. We did it over at the Georgetown Center over on Route 51 South. We had over 140 local leaders at that lunch back in April. Again, during COVID, you could not do those things. So that gave us a challenge in getting, in giving our members access to their colleagues.
And no offense to the fine folks at Zoom or Teams or Skype, but it's just not the same to have these meetings with where everybody's in a little screen, little postage stamp size.
It is not.
No.
It is absolutely not. There's nothing like, in-person contact.
Robert Johnson is director of the Monongahela Area Chamber of Commerce. Robert, give us your website address and your phone number if people want more information.
www.monongahelachamber.com. Our phone number, and there's a voicemail on there. If you call and you miss us, we'll get back to you. The number is 412-678-2450.
And you do not have to be a giant business. You do have some large corporations that are part of the Monongahela Area Chamber, but you have some sole proprietor
We absolutely do.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a number of which I am myself, a sole proprietor. Our membership for a sole proprietor, 1 to 5 employees, $200 annually. The membership starts from the day you join the chamber. If you join on January 15th, you're good until January 15th of the following year. We do have, and we're talking to a lot of those folks. We have municipalities who are members. We have school districts who are members. We have a number of nonprofit members. We have a special nonprofit rate. For most of our nonprofits, I think the rate's about $100 a year. We keep that very affordable for our nonprofits and for our sole proprietors at $200 a year. We think that's a pretty good price range to be a chamber member.
Our group, Tube City Community Media, for instance, is a member of the chamber. And you do have churches and faith organizations that have joined the Chamber of Commerce as well.
We do, and we have some faith-based groups doing some great work. McKeesport, Clarendon, Duquesne, we've got some groups doing some great work.
Robert Johnson is director of the Monyok Area Chamber of Commerce, and a couple of the things I want to talk to you about, there are a couple of big issues that are kind of percolating in the background. One of them, I know the Monyok Chamber has taken a stand on recently, along with the mayors of Braddock, Clairton, North Braddock, and West Mifflin. And that is the proposed merger of Nippon Steel with U.S. Steel Corporation. Tell us a little bit about why the chamber is speaking out on behalf of that merger.
Well, what we've done officially with the U.S. Steel-Nippon merger is we've basically been introducing the folks from Nippon to local leaders in the Mon Valley. Or the big thing that we did, and we did this at the request of U.S. Steel. U.S. Steel has been a longtime member of the chamber. And what the chamber, we felt that the chamber's role was to get out into the community and make sure that the folks from Nippon had an opportunity to talk to those local officials. Pretty much, I mean, the event really got a lot of kudos. And you saw as a result of that, some of the mayors, as you've seen in some of the ads, have been out, you know, talking publicly. We helped get that started by, again, the chamber's role of just being the facilitator, connecting the folks from Japan to our folks down in the Mon Valley. And I was impressed with the turnout. They made a nice presentation there, and it's kind of gone on from there. I've attended some meetings with them. Some of our board members have attended meetings with them, you know, as they've been coming into town. Looks like it's about an estimated 3,000 jobs directly affected between Braddock, Irvin Works, and Clairton. Probably about 10,000 jobs indirectly by what happens with U.S. Steel, whether the Nippon merger goes through or not. The other thing that's important is we need an investment in a new hot rolling mill. Which is going to be a considerable investment.
Well, let's talk probably about that, because let's for people who maybe are not familiar with the area, or they drive past these facilities and they don't really know what they do. U.S. Steel, in addition to the headquarters in Pittsburgh, they have three large facilities in the, what we call the Mon Valley area. And Robert Johnson is our guest this morning. He's the director of the Monyok Chamber of Commerce, monyokchamber.com. There is the Edgar Thompson Works in Braddock and North Braddock, which is actually raw material coming in one side and steel goes out the other side. It is the actual one of the last remaining steel mills. Up in West Mifflin is what they call the Irvin Works, and that is the hot rolled facility, and that takes big slabs of steel and turns it into rolls of steel that manufacturers can use for things like washers and dryers and car fenders and anything that comes from sheet steel. Some of it is turned into pipes and tubes and things like that. And then the Clairton plant, which takes coal and burns off the impurities and makes blast furnace fuel. Is that pretty much? So that's the kind of the plus there's a research and development facility in the Pittsburgh area, I think in Homestead, actually, at the waterfront.
Yes.
There's a training facility in Duquesne at the old Duquesne plant.
I think you did a good job, Jason. Okay. That research facility is right across the street from the pump house. Uh-huh. We have our Tour de Mont, our bike ride every fall down there. We sometimes use that parking lot right there at the research center. So, you know, I'm a little older, probably in the older category. I have personal connections to the steel industry. My grandfather worked at the Clairton Coke Works probably for 45 years before he retired. I have an uncle who was an electrician over there who retired about 10 years. He's been retired over about 10 years now. I still have called him back periodically to help with things at Clairton. So as many families in the Mon Valley have had their whole life, is that the steel has just had such an economic impact on all of us. All of us are just connected to this industry in some way if we grew up in the area.
And some of us, as we've mentioned, are connected to it now. Some of it is putting food on the table for people now.
Exactly. Okay. So, you know, whatever happens here, and you know, it's still a moving thing. We'll see how this works out at the end of the day.
Let's take a 30-second pause and let's come back. Let's pick it up right there because it is a moving target, and I want to ask you about these ads that we've seen with the different mayors of Clairton and Braddock, North Braddock, West Mifflin. And I want to ask you if they're having an impact, if it's starting to move the needle. Okay.
Okay.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
When we took the break and I interrupted you, we were talking about the moving target of this Nippon Steel U.S. Steel merger. And one thing I wanted to ask you about before we get into it's not just these U.S. Steel facilities that are going to be affected. There are a bunch of small facilities. There's a Durabond pipe making facility in McKeesport. There's another pipe making facility in Homestead Munhall area. So there is a big economic driver here in the Mon Valley area.
Yeah, and I think again that indirect job number, and that gets into the area I mentioned earlier about the estimated 10,000 indirect jobs that are affected by anything that happens at those three plants. So, you know, Back when I got out of college, University of Pittsburgh, I worked for a savings and loan bank down in Homestead, and I cashed some of the last checks ever to come out of the Homestead Steelworks before it closed. So, this is the thing. We saw Duquesne close as well. McKeesport, National Tubes. So it's just important that we secure the future with steel. So we've got to work through this merger and whatever happens and whatever else happens, if you know, whatever changes come, it's our role to try to do everything we can to maintain steel manufacturing in our area. It's a history of Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the U.S. Steel Building. That has been our focus is to promote and promote steel manufacturing in our valley.
Before the recent election, I had several reporters from outside of the Pittsburgh area reach out to me to ask me kind of, you know, well, you're a local guy. What's going on in the Mon Valley area? And several of them questioned. They said this really was not coming up when they were asking people, you know, are you voting for Donald Trump? Are you voting for Joe Biden? This was not, even among steelworkers, was not something that was coming up. And it was probably because both Joe Biden and Donald Trump had said they were against this Nippon Steel, U.S. Steel merger. And for that reason, I think a lot of Wall Street analysts have felt from the beginning, oh, this might be doomed. You know, if both the Republicans and the Democrats are against it, then what chance does it have?
Well, I think both again, on both political parties, you said it accurately, Jason. I mean, they both publicly stated their opposition to this deal. Now, what does that mean at the end of the day? We just don't know. I mean, we're looking at a change here on January 20th as President Biden leaves and Donald Trump comes into office. Will that change? You know, it's I don't think anybody really knows. So I want to be careful about commenting on that.
Yeah, sure.
I just think we have to be cautious in making any real statements about many predictions here. Yep. Because this thing does seem to be a moving target to a certain extent. It's just important for us to talk about the jobs impacted and, again, the need for that new hot rolling mill. I know I mentioned that earlier in this conversation, but I want to stay on that, folks.
And that's that mill, okay, that's what they – when they, probably – before my time, they called it the Mill on the Hill up in West Mifflin. It's the Irvin Works in West Mifflin, and it takes big pieces. But that's make it simple. It takes big pieces of steel and rolls it down into long, skinny, flat pieces of steel. But that mill is pretty old. How old is that rolling mill up there?
The U.S. Steel folks told us that, I believe that mill, the hot rolling mill, was built in 1938.
Okay.
So we're talking about pre-World War II time.
Okay.
Now, for U.S. Steel and or Nippon Steel or any new potential owner of Irvinworks to be, continue to sell to the auto manufacturers down the road, to the oil and gas industry, which is now big in southwestern Pennsylvania, that rolling mill needs to be modernized. That will more or less secure a hopefully long-term future for steelmaking in the Mon Valley. So Nippon has stated in writing that they are going to invest what nearly $1 billion are saying they're going to do. I'm sure the federal committee looking at this has been reviewing all of that. But it is, I want to make sure, as everybody is talking about this, for the long-term future for our local union reps, our guys working, for our families, for the Durabons and our other companies that are affected by this, we want to push and push and push for a hot rolling mill.
Let me play devil's advocate, because there's some skepticism. The U.S. Steelworkers, the United Steelworkers, rather, is not for this acquisition. They were for a different purchase, and although some of the local union presidents have come out in favor of the merger, the Steelworkers International is still unhappy about this. And there's been some skepticism. I was at one of your legislative lunches for the Monoc Area Chamber of Commerce when U.S. Steel made the announcement originally that they were going to put $1.3 billion into the Mon Valley Works. And then we all know that instead of doing that, they purchased another steel company down in Arkansas. So a lot of us who have been around for a while, like me, are going, I'm from Missouri. Show me. I'm skeptical.
Well, I think if you look at it, Nippon does have resources to make an investment like this in terms of their cash balances, the size of their company. They're in a position where they could make that investment. Again, we can't ensure, Jason, that's going to happen. But what we need to do is continue to push that if that merger goes through, that they will make the investment. They're telling everybody, they put it in a lot of their documents. We do think it's a critical piece. And again, with a long history of what's happened in steel really since, what, the late 70s, early 80s, you know, you can see why some folks might be negative. But we are going to choose to be positive, and that we want to build a future. And we're going to continue as chambers and as local businesses to promote and say that it can be done.
We have
the Shell.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, Shell picked a facility down in Aliquippa to build a cracker plant, which, folks, if you go down past the airport on 376, it was a $7 billion facility. It did happen here. It could have happened in Ohio, could have happened in West Virginia, but it happened here. So I'm going to choose to be optimistic that we're going to, you know, find a way to make this work and really, you know, preserve our past, save our present, and really build our future.
Let's pause right there. When we come back, I want to ask you about another issue that has been in this area for as long as I've been alive, and that is the Mon Fayette Expressway. Your group had a pretty good update here a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to ask you why that project is so important to the future economic health of the communities that your chamber serves, okay?
Thank you.
Robert Johnson is director of the Monoc Area Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more information at monocchamber.com. You can also find them on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. And we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Robert, when we took the break, we were talking about the Nippon Steel U.S. Steel merger, which is really concerning to a lot of the elected officials and business owners in the Mon Valley area. There's another investment that has been ongoing now for my entire lifetime, honestly, and that is the Mon Fayette Expressway, which is coming closer to the West Mifflin-Duquesne area. Your group had a information session. Tell us, what happened at the information session? How did that event go?
It was well attended. We had, again, a number of local leaders were there. Senator-elect Piscitanno was one of them. He made some comments. We had two folks from the Turnpike Commission there. I also had a gentleman there from PennDOT. Turnpike gave us an update, particularly on the leg coming from Route 51 South over to the county airport at Lebanon Road. It was a good update given on where they're at. We're still probably a couple of years away from opening, I believe. I think they're projecting around 2026, maybe early 2027 for parts of that section to be open. As hopefully most of your listeners know, there's funding there to get us over to Duquesne, stopping right around at 837 at the bridge there by the city of Duquesne. There's also which we talked a little bit about, there's going to be a north and a south exit. And it's not a full interchange, but there'll be, I think you can go south and north in an exit that will be in Dervosburg, not far from the Mansfield Bridge. So that was discussed. And it was just a good update on where the Turnpike is now with this project. As many of your listeners know, the Montauk Chamber has long been an advocate for this expressway going back many years. We do think it's going to continue to open up the corridor for everything, including manufacturing and all of our businesses. So we're continuing to promote it, continuing to talk about developments. It's going to help the county airport. It's going to help West Mifflin. You saw some of the Century 3 mall site is now coming down. We've got a new developer there. Senator Piscitanno did a good job getting us helping with an RCAP to get that funded. This road is going to connect a lot of these dots, from Large over to Duquesne. And I think I think our next steps, Jason, are to build some economic development plans around it for the towns. We want to be helping Duquesne. We want to be helping Clairton, helping McKeesport, in terms of trying to attract some development around this road on those exits.
Let me ask you some questions about this, because Robert Johnson is with us for a few more minutes. He's the director of the Montauk Area Chamber of Commerce. So let me ask you a few things. One is, you know, we've had folks from like RIDC, that's the Regional Industrial Development Corporation. They have the industrial parks in McKeesport and Turtle Creek and Duquesne. And one thing that I know frustrates them sometimes is they've had shovel-ready sites for development with big, large pads, and they don't get people coming in. I've talked to local real estate agents and real estate developers that they've got shovel-ready pads for development, and they can't get people in. You know, we have these brownfield sites, but the brownfields, a lot of them have long since been cleared away and made ready for new development, and it hasn't happened. You're out there pitching the Mon Valley to businesses. What's holding them back from wanting to put a big distribution center or a warehousing-type facility in the Mon Valley area? What do they tell you?
Well, they look at all economic conditions. They're looking at regulations. They're looking at taxes. They're looking at accessible land. They're looking at, but they're also looking at transportation. So the Mon Valley always has had river and has had rail. The road, an interstate road, a toll road where it's easy access on and off, is something that we have not really had, but we never needed it. When we had, in the days of heavy steel, we could use rail and the rivers to move products up and down. This road is important because it's going to we already have railway, again, we already have assets in transportation, but now we're going to have a road that will help generate more access to goods and services. So the road, When we promote it properly, the road is going to enhance economic development. Now, examples, you can see that when you go up to the North Hills of Pittsburgh, when you go up and you see what happened in Cranberry as a result of 279. I see it a lot. I'm in Washington County a lot. I see it down around South Point, where the new roads have just generated a lot of economic activity. It is our hope that the expressway, getting at this point, getting over Duquesne from Route 51 at Large, is going to help that entire corridor and help all of our businesses.
And at your meeting, it sounded to me as if they said there is a steady supply of funding. One of the things that has been always the Achilles heel of this highway project, from which is going to connect the West Virginia line to the city of Pittsburgh, ultimately through the Mon Valley, has always been funding. What's the story on funding? Is funding going to continue for this project?
Funding at this point, what the Turnpike will say is that they believe funding is at least secure, hopefully, to get us over to Duquesne to 837. Now, to go down across the Mon River up into the Turtle Creek Valley, which has been discussed over the years, there's no funding in place for that. So that will be probably another heavy lift at some point with elected officials. But right now, it looks like they've got enough funding secured to get us over to Duquesne. And that's a good start. And that will at least that will help us considerably with many of our communities in our service area of our 22 communities.
That at least connects your service area to Interstate 70. It connects it to the Turnpike, and it connects it to Route 51 and some other areas.
It really does. I mean, again, Doug, I mentioned the Century 3 Mall site earlier. That'll be a boon for the Century 3 Mall site.
Yeah.
It'll help the county. It'll help the county airport. It'll help CCAC in West Mifflin. It'll help RIDC, particularly in Duquesne, but it'll, you know, and well, it'll help RIDC in both Duquesne and McKeesport.
Yeah.
It's going to help both sites considerably. So, you know, that's the good news. And we want to continue to talk about the good news coming from this road coming, you know, this road being finally being built.
We have only a minute or two left. So let me pack 12 months into a minute or two with Robert Johnson from the Monoyac Area Chamber of Commerce. We do have a new president coming in. We've got a new state senator, new state representative for part of your area. What's your outlook for 2025? What issues are on the horizon, other than the ones we've already discussed, that your chamber and your members of your Chamber of Commerce are looking at in the next 12 months?
Well, I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful. We have been working on a manufacturing initiative with Penn State Greater Allegheny, yet another regional asset for our manufacturers. U.S. Steel has been part of that. We've had couple of meetings now. We've had some manufacturers attend. We're looking at some programs for our small businesses that we've been talking about that we want to get enacted. With our new legislative delegation coming in, with both John and Nick coming in, we think that's going to be a positive for our area. So, I mean, our goal is we're on the rise. We're getting new members. We're working on our strategic planning. We're probably going to have an annual meeting here sometime early in 2025. So our view right now is optimistic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Jason, I mentioned, we have a lot of assets. And one of our challenges, but also one of our positives is to promote the assets that we have. You know, affordable housing is there in the Mon Valley. Business, there is land there. We have things that we can do. We've got a great park, Renzi Park, mm-hmm. great park system over in McKeesport, you know, over there by Penn State Greater Allegheny, great site. We have a lot of things. Rond Hill Park up in Elizabeth. We have a lot of good assets. We're talking to everybody across the region, not just in the Valley. I've been going to meetings in Pittsburgh with some of the Pittsburgh folks, and we're talking about, you know, again, doing some good things in our valley.
Robert Johnson is director of the Monoyac Area Chamber of Commerce. You can find them online at monoyacchamber.com. You can call them at area code 412-678-2450. You can also find them on social media on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn.
Thank you. Thanks for talking with us, and thanks for promoting the Chamber of Commerce, and thank you for being a member.
Well, and thank you for taking the time to talk with everybody this morning, and thank you all for listening today to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.